Hey everybody, welcome back to Braving the Journey. I'm your host, Zach Mathers, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being so uncommitted to part of this journey as we discover how to live just healthier and more with inside of our identities and who we are made to be. Today, I have Andrew Wild on, and I'm excited for you guys to get a chance to listen to him. He is somebody that is kind of reshaping how we see addiction and the stigma that has been associated to that word. And he has this kind of firm belief, this idea that what happens is we have a tendency to look at the issue, the addiction, the alcohol, the drugs, the porn, the social media, the addicted to Netflix or food, whatever that is, we have a tendency to look there. But what we don't look at is the underlining why. The why does this happen? Why am I addicted to these things? Why am I choosing to check out, to numb out from things of this world? And so that's where we really dive into. So if you ever find yourself in that place where you just disconnect constantly and are moving towards this that makes you feel something over here because you don't want to feel this, this is a podcast for you to listen to. And Andrew is somebody that I would strongly encourage you to follow him on social media, follow him on Instagram, on Facebook, go check him out at his website. Find out what he's doing as far as coaching goes. I just believe that so many of us choose to self-medicate or find a way to completely check out because we haven't really ever begun to deal with the feelings that we have underneath. And so that's what this is all about today, you guys. So check it out. Let's dive into this. Here we go. All right, everybody. Hey, welcome back to Braving the Journey. I'm your host, Zach Mathers. And hey, I got Andrew Wild on today. And I just want to, I'm super excited for this conversation. This is a guy that is just doing a lot when it comes to changing the way that we see addiction and how we approach it and the way it looks. And so it's an honor for me to have him on the show. I just want to say thank you. I'm kind of jealous that you are in an RV traveling around New Zealand right now.
Thank you.
Honestly,
for having
it sounds amazing. So yeah, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. I love any opportunity I can just to spread the message.
Yeah. And so, I mean, in that, like if you had to break down your message, like what is that message that you are like, this is what I am trying to help shift the culture in the world towards?
I'd say my core through line that would be sort of like, if I had to have a tagline, it would be the thing isn't the thing. Looking at the thing, stop treating the thing, stop looking at alcohol as the problem or drugs as the problem or porn or gambling or social media or overeating or overworking or people pleasing. Stop looking at the thing or the symptom or what I deem to just be the coping mechanism we've chosen to cope and regulate with what we were never taught how to cope and regulate. And how much deeper can we go? What's under that? What is creating, what is it within me that's creating a desire to numb, escape, run, hide, and check the fuck out from the world?
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that idea of, I mean, because even like I'm just thinking, like when you just say that, the first thing for me runs back to my story of like, you know, drinking was the thing that everyone saw. Like, you got to fix that.
100%.
But really, what I had to fix was the shame that led me to the drink, you know, and I had to take years of looking at that deep, deep shame that kept kind of surfacing and going, what was that about, you know? And so,
and it always comes back to these core wounds, you know, it's the feeling of unworthiness or not enoughness or lack of self-empowerment or lack of self-love or lack of, you know, like you said, this being riddled with toxic shame, with guilt, with remorse, and these things can stem from, you know, all sorts of places. But the fact remains that there's a part of me, and obviously from what you've just said, a part of you that didn't feel enough.
Yeah.
That didn't feel adequate. That felt like there was something missing.
Yep.
And we were consistently, I was consistently trying to fill that void from within me with something from outside of myself.
Yeah.
To try and
make me feel more. I think we all do it, like, to some degree. And I think some people can just choose the thing to fill the void that looks healthier on the outside. and some choose the ugly things, you know? And like, 100%. You know, like I have a friend that's a runner, like a ultra runner, the ones that run those hundreds mile, you know? And I'm like, you're running from something, man. Like, yeah, I love him. I love it to death, but I'm like, it's not healthy, you know? Yeah. But to everyone else gives him, you know, pats on the back and goes, this is amazing. And I'm like, well, totally. I don't know.
You There's
know?
A lot of quote unquote healthy addictions on this planet, right? You know,
yeah.
from the outside, you know, yeah, overworking, absolutely. Over-exercising. But, you know, they can be commendable. And I consistently sit in a place of really deep gratitude for the fact that I chose something that destroyed my life to the extent that I had no choice to actually start to look at what was under this.
Okay. So tell me, I want the listeners to get a chance to just get to know you. So what do you do now? Like what is your area that you're serving in this capacity?
Yeah, so I guess what I do is I run and operate you could call it an online rehab. That's okay. The easiest way to explain it. I run an online rehab, an online rehabilitation center. So I have created a sort of six-step or a six-module framework and guidance system to help return humans back to their truth, to create space between them and their chosen vice. And I do that through an online portal. So I run and operate about maybe four larger group programs a year. So I might guide sort of 40 plus humans through my group programs. I have a free experience as well. So I have a free experience online of a sort of like a taster, which we had in the last time I opened that up. We had about 555 people come through that, which was incredible. And the core of my work would be working with people one-on-one.
Yeah.
So I work as a sort of one-on-one guide or a mentor or a coach or however you want to frame it. I'm unattached to any label.
Yeah, it's just a support so funny. Person. The language how you want to say it, you're like, I'm here to help you. Like, however that is. Like,
man, I'm just here to help. I'm just here to be a guide and to be a mirror to what it is that isn't currently serving you or working within your framework of how you show up in life. And I love it. I love everything about it. And, you know, I guess personally what's happening for me at the moment, you know, like you said, I'm living in an RV. I'm on the road for 2 months traveling around New Zealand, which is where I was born and bred. And I never, ever, ever could have possibly imagined that life could have ever got this good. Huh. It continues to surprise me.
That's amazing. So I want to hear from you. Like that's the now, that's the existence. And most people don't wake up as a child being like, hey, I'm going to work with people. Like, you don't be like, dude, when I grow up, I want to be someone that helps people with addictions. So usually there's a backstory, you know, there's a what got you here. I want you to take a little bit of time and I want to hear your story. I want to hear what got you to this space where now you're getting to help change the culture of addiction. You're getting to help guide and coach people and pulling them, kind of guiding them and leading them out of the deeper why, you know. But for you, what was your story?
Yeah, thanks, Zach. I mean, it depends how far you want to go back, right? Like when I've really, and this, so much of this is honestly been only coming up for me maybe the last 3 or 4 months. And something I really believe to be true about the nature of hurt or pain or quote unquote trauma, which is a bit of a trigger or tag word these days, is that it will only come up or reveal itself when your body truly feels you're ready to witness it and process it. And so what I've been sitting with and seeing a lot of recently is actually how quite erratic and unstable my childhood was. I actually honestly haven't been able to see it in the light that I have until, you know, and I've done a lot of work on myself, some deep work over the last 4 or 5 years. And this is only coming up for processing now, which is perfect. It's amazing. But like growing up, I can sort of see how quite erratic and unstable and uncomfortable life was for me as a kid.
Yeah.
And because of that, I started choosing to sort of run or hide or escape quite early. And I think for me as well, being an only child, like that may have started in things just as simple and basic as like engrossing myself in Lego. Like yeah. I remember getting to these like portals and just disappear into a world of imagination for hours and hours on end, right? You know, it got a bit more destructive when I started to find things like porn, found porn from a really young age. And that was always quite, I truly believe that to be the more consistent and probably longer serving, you know, addictive pattern or vice I chose to have in my life. From a young age, I started smoking weed at about 11 years old. So, you know, what I can see in that basically is that from a young age, there was something in me that really liked the feeling of numbing or checking out or finding an escape from reality.
Right.
But again, you know, as crazy as it sounds, so imagine a kid growing up, you know, at 11 years old smoking weed. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't an everyday thing. It was, you know, like the sort of naughty taboo, like I've got a friend like around.
When you could get your hands on it. That's
it. Yeah. And it certainly wasn't causing sort of quote unquote problems at the time. And again, that just accentuated, you know, I didn't deem myself to be that different to most teenagers or friends that I surrounded myself with. I partied pretty hard and drunk and took some drugs through high school and things like that. And it all probably really started hitting the fan when I came home from the UK. I did a year after school living and working in the UK, came home with a bit of an ego. And my high school sweetheart, right? My first love, we broke up. She left me because I was being an asshole. Fair enough, rightly so. And it broke my heart, like tore me apart. Like, I don't know if you remember that first love, that first separation, that original breakup. Yeah. And as a, you know, 21-year-old boy, I had absolutely no idea how to deal with the excruciating pain I was experiencing in that moment. I had no clue. You know, something I speak about so much and so what I truly believe to be at the core of so much hurt and distress on this planet is this human inability to feel and process emotions.
Yeah.
We're not taught how to feel. We're not taught what to do when these, you know, when we're in pain, when we're hurting, when we're upset, when you know, something has been done to us or we've actually often created for ourselves, that creates so much emotion. Emotion is just energy in motion, right?
Yeah.
But it's somewhere along the way through, you know, whatever patterns or conditioning or upbringing, I definitely made it mean that to actually feel wasn't okay. It wasn't safe. Mm. Right. And it wasn't accepted. And so in that experience, in that breakup, I just buried it. I returned to really quickly what I knew worked really well for me, which is drugs and alcohol and sex.
Yeah.
And just put my foot down on the accelerator big time.
Oh, man. See, you just hit, like, for me, I, you know, I'm, as being a parent of kids, you know, my oldest son is 12 and, you know, I'm like, man, what does it look like for us to help change the next generation to like you said, like be okay to feel, be okay to express the feelings, be okay, you know, and I actually I learn a lot always from my kids, you know, and a lot of times, like even my youngest who's 4, we want to shut down the tantrums because it makes me feel uncomfortable because she's throwing a tantrum in the store versus how do I sit with her in her tantrum. Like, man, that must be really hard. You're feeling this. It's heavy.
Yeah.
You know,
now you just nailed it.
Yeah. But
it's reflective of your discomfort.
Yeah. Oh, totally. We try to change others' behaviors because it makes us feel uncomfortable, or your emotions are too much for me to handle. So I'll choose to avoid and not let you share.
Yeah.
You know,
and then imagine that as a child. Imagine that as a child, when someone turns to you and, oh, so you're upset, and because the parent doesn't know how to hold that, they said, oh, stop crying, you, or I'll give you something to cry about, or stop crying, you've got nothing to cry about. Everything's, look around you. You should be grateful. Yeah.
So they begin to believe the lie that I shouldn't have the feeling.
Totally.
So therefore, when the feeling, because we're all going to have them, we're all going to have feelings, like heavy, big emotional feelings, right? And so if we believe the lie that we're not supposed to have them, best way to do it is numb it out.
Yeah. Right? And we also get confused in those moments. You know, they'll go, you're not upset. You're not upset. What do you mean I'm not upset? I swear that was what the emotion I was feeling in that time. And we sit there confused as a kid going, now I don't actually understand my feelings and I'm making them wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I even like for me, you know, in all this learning, I remember when someone gave me a feeling chart. It was just a piece of paper with every feeling word you could think of. And I was like, wow, these are a lot of words. Yeah. And these are like, you know, cause like we identify a few feelings like angry, sad, happy, you know, and like to be able to like my wife and I, we practice and we're not consistent. We're never good at doing it every day. But what we try to do is like when I come home, we tell the kids, hey, mom and dad need 5 minutes. And we go into the room and I look at her and I go, what are your three feelings you've been experiencing today? And she asked me the same question, because then we can kind of coexist and co-parent together. And I know that she's either had a tough, you know, or I'm in a spot, but it makes me even check in with myself and go,
I don't even know.
Cause if I don't check in with my feelings, most of the time I'm unaware of them.
That's such a powerful practice. And it also means for you guys, you get that opportunity to drop in and to ground and to be really present with not only yourselves, but with each other, and then take that back out into your household environment with your children. And you're operating from a place of, you know, being centered and grounded as opposed to being reactionary.
Yeah. Oh, I see it. The days that we don't check in, you know, I'll come home and react to her and all of a sudden I'm like, how do we get here? Versus, you know, when I can hear her feelings and she's like, I've had a really discouraging day and I feel defeated. And then I can go, wow, I can support you the rest of the day through this. You know, it looks different. So, okay, back to your story.
Back to your story.
Feelings. We all need to have feelings.
We all need to learn how to feel our feelings. The feeling creates the healing, my man. Anyway, breakup, started putting the foot down, accelerator on my drug and alcohol abuse. By 20, probably end of closing in on 22 years old, I was living in my car, driving from liquor store to liquor store and dealer to dealer, doing anything I really could just to stay under the influence, to stay high, to stay absolutely obliterated, basically, because that was the only thing I knew that was taking this pain and hurt away. And just by a process of, like, it was the absolute God job, like universe was looking after me. My dad at the most opportune time happened to find me parked up in the middle of nowhere, put me in the car, sat me down and just asked those, you know, those perfect words that I needed at the time, which was, did you want help? And all I could manage was yes. Hell yes. I don't know what is going on. I don't know what this is. I had no idea what addiction even was or looked like. I had never even really had that conversation with a human in my life. All I knew is that I, on my own, could not manage what was going on. I had absolutely no control in that moment. And so very quickly ended up in rehab for the first time. Rehab number one, which was amazing. 22 years old. First experience of really learning about myself, learning what it was going to take to I guess be sober or on this journey of healing, as I like to call it, this journey of self-discovery. It was a 12-step based rehabilitation center. And I do remember, even at that age, it's really interesting looking back, I remember having so many questions that a lot of people just couldn't answer, even back then. Yeah. There was a, like, I I will never take anything away from my experience in that place, or, you know, I guess the systems I was sort of indoctrinated into back then. But something just didn't add up. You know, I had a lot of questions that no one could give me answers for, which usually was actually like, why? Why am I showing up like this? Why am I behaving like this? Where does this come from? Where does this stem from? Why? Yeah. I wanted to know why. I wanted answers. And no one could give them to me. Yeah. They just would bypass it with this fact of you just have a disease for which there is no known cure, and you've just got to deal with it. Yep. I was like, well, it just didn't resonate. But, you know, I had no other options or solutions presented to me at the time. So I took it on the chin and thought, well, these guys obviously know a hell of a lot more than I do. And I've just got to accept this as the truth and do what they're suggesting and hope and how that it works.
Yeah.
So phenomenal experience, but also didn't last very long because I was 22 years old. I was working in the radio industry at the time. My entire life was centered around drugs and alcohol. I ran and hosted parties, in one of the biggest cities in New Zealand. And I honestly just wasn't ready to put in the work required to actually make this a way of living. And, you know, I don't sugarcoat anything. A lot of people that do come and work with me love working with me because of the fact that of how real and honest and truthful I am. And the truth is this shit takes work.
Yeah, I love hearing that. I love it. I met with a guy this morning for coffee, and he's like newly, like, you know, weekend sober. Yeah. We were sitting and talking. He's like, this is really hard. And I was like, yeah, it is. And it's going to take a lot of work. And he's like, you know, but I was like, sometimes I think we try to sugarcoat it and be like, 100%. Like, here, take the magic pill. Like, there's not anytime you're going to dig at your roots and try to figure out why, the deep why, it's hard.
Spot on. Know? It's the path least traveled, brother. And, you know, because it means change.
Yeah.
And the way our subconscious mind is wired, and our little sneaky little ego is wired, is that it doesn't like change.
Yeah.
Its job is to keep us in what is familiar. Its job is to, it thinks it's keeping us safe. Really, what it's doing is keeping us small. And so it will do absolutely everything to keep us in these ineffective cycles and patterns of behavior, because that's what it knows is easy and familiar. Yeah. And so anytime we're bumping up against resistance, it usually means growth and expansion. So if we can start to see it as such and start to be like, wow, if this is actually really uncomfortable, that means there must be growth and expansion waiting for me on the other side of this.
I don't know why we can't. Like, we see that in the physical, right? Like, we all can embrace the fact, like, if you're going to want to build muscle, you got to tear it down to let it regrow, and it's going to kind of be painful. When I trained for soccer, same experience, like double days in the heat. And I knew that there was something on the other end of it though, you know, but we don't see that sometimes when it comes to the emotional side of our humanness,
you 100%.
Know,
of going,
you know, it's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. It's going to,
There was a couple of posts. I was trying to look for it before, but I was talking to someone just the other day about this label of post-traumatic growth and post-traumatic wisdom, which I thought was fascinating. And basically at its essence, it's talking about how actually these traumatic events and experiences can be turned into growth and wisdom if you allow it to be. If you want to frame them as such, you can actually see them. And it's hard when you're in the thick of it, obviously, but when you're out of it, you can see the light through the trees, and you can see it as actually probably with a catalyst and the pivotal moment that got you to the place that this expansive place, this place of growth, this place of deeper understanding, this place of knowledge, this place of like truth within yourself, this place of like, holy shit, wow, this is actually what I'm capable of. And I'm now grateful for what I had to go through to get to who I am today.
Yeah. And I know it's hard for people to hear that. Like, if you're in the middle of that, when you hear someone say like, dude, you're gonna look back and be so thankful, they're like, no, I'm not. Like, you know, like my story was, I was at 22 year old, like, pastor of a church, and I had an affair on my wife and blew up my whole life. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And just blew it up. Like, And so that's when I talk about the shame. That's where my shame came from. Like the shame of like, and lost my job, lost my marriage, and all of this blows up. And so I numbed out and drank it away. Right. But like, I can honestly say, I can look back now, I'm now married 16 years, worked my ass off on my own recovery process and journey. I can look back and be like, I think I still would have been a pretty shallow human being.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for everything I got to go through, 100%. You know, I think I would have still loved people and been caring and floated through, but I don't think there would have been a depth to this, like hunger to learn, hunger to change, hunger to dig at the root if it wasn't for the affair, you know?
Spot on. So, you can see it, right? You can see it as like the catalyst. You can see it as this moment of sort of reckoning. It's like, wow, okay, now that I am out the other side and the emotion has been cleared that is attached to that experience, I can hold it with wisdom. Emotion, I love that. This is a quote I use a lot, sort of event minus emotion equals wisdom. So you can start to see it from a different light. You see it from the observer rather than feeling like you're in it. And you can be like, I'm so grateful that that's exactly what happened because it got me to where I am today.
Yeah. So you did your first rehab back in
first rehab, went back out, back into the scene, and I just sat on the merry-go-round, man, for another probably 7 or 8 years. My pattern, and I sort of talk about the cycle of addiction, right, is for me, it was like insert trigger. Trigger could be anything. Someone messages me to go and have a drink. Could have been a good day. Could have been a rubbish day. Think it's a good idea to go and have one. Start my way on the downward spiral. One turns into 20, turns into a bag, turns into, you know, it was like playing Russian roulette with me, bro. Like I had no idea whether it would be a night or I'd be out of the game for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then anyway, I'd eventually find myself to the bottom of this spiral, the bottom of the hole, the rock bottom of some description. There's been so many. And depending on where I was, I would either need some sort of a detox or maybe I'd be able to crawl myself out of that hole myself, start to make up for all the chaos and the wreckage that I had created on the way down, start, you know, apologizing and start eating right and getting back to the gym and getting back to my support groups and doing all the right things again. And then things would be good. And because things would be good, I'd stop doing all the things that got me there in the first place. I'd get complacent.
Yep.
And that complacency, this was my pattern. This was my cycle for years. And again, that could have lasted anywhere between a week or 3 months.
Yep.
Until insert trigger and away down I go again. And that was my cycle, man, for absolutely years. Along the way, my dad died. My dad died of a brain tumor. So I was about 26 years old when that happened. So again, more hurt, more pain, more, you know, traumatic events in my life that I didn't know how to deal with or cope with. More feeling, grief. Shove that down. Not dealing with that today. Drink, drug. You know, and then eventually, you know, when I was in those spells of sobriety or just not drinking and not taking drugs, I was very functional. Like I had my own business. I had an online health and wellness business. And
I love it.
The irony doesn't fall on me either. Don't worry. It's not lost.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I did. I had a very well and reasonably high functioning. Is it good as it could have been? Health and wellness coaching business online. So what that kind of gets me to the end, my reckoning, right? Which was where I was talking to you before we hit record. I actually, because of my performance, I won a trip to Las Vegas.
Okay.
An all expenses trip to Las Vegas. God, I'm just looking back on this now. The lies I told myself that this trip would be okay.
Yeah. Oh man, I went to Vegas in a sober stint. I actually went to an AA meeting on the Strip. In a casino, I found one. I was like, "This is unreal." Like,
that would be out there, man.
It was. I don't know. I don't know how I made it to the point I did, but yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, found my way to Vegas. Made all the promises to remain clean and sober on this trip. It so happened that I had planned to get there 5 days before anybody else, before the conference started. And within 30 minutes of landing, I jumped in an Uber. Uber driver turned around and looked at me and said, "Where do you want to go?" I'm like, "Dude, I've got no idea. I don't have a clue. I've never been here before in my life." Like, he just looks at me, he's like, "Bro, do you smoke weed?" It's like, "Oh, here we go." I'm like, "Man, I haven't smoked weed in years." He's like, "Oh, well, it's legal here now. Should we go to a dispensary?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay, cool. When in Rome, let's go."
Yeah.
Ended up at dispensary. I was high as a kite walking through these casinos. 2 hours later, I would have been drunk as a skunk. And I would say not long after that, probably a couple of hours after that, I had messaged some contacts in New Zealand to send me some contacts for coke, and was armed with a couple of eight balls. And that was the beginning of the end for me, really. I spent over 10 days in Vegas, just obliterated, absolute bender. Our keynote speaker was Tony Robbins. I was out the gate listening to Tony Robbins. Like I said to you, came home through Hawaii and spent probably 4 days in Hawaii. I was drink driving a hire car all through Hawaii. Like, it was mayhem, man. Yeah. Got back on the plane and carried on. Got home and carried on that behavior for about 2 months, to the point where basically my existence was my bedroom and drinking. But anywhere where I lived was quite isolated at the time, so there wasn't access to drugs. So for me, it was basically a bottle or two of vodka a day. I'd wake up, whatever that time of the day would be, drink myself into blackout, coma out, wake up, do it all again. Horrible, you know, to the point where I was just like so paranoid. I'd be like pissing in the corner of my bedroom. Wouldn't want to leave the room until I knew everybody else that I lived with would be asleep. Lying and manipulating people into bringing me alcohol, finding ways to get money to pay for said alcohol. It was chaos. My mum knew what was going on. She knows when I don't answer my phone or I go MIA, like I'm out the gate. Yeah. I had a sponsor at the time where I lived who also was pretty aware of what was going on for me. They also both know, you know, the core of helping anyone is you can't help anyone until they're willing and ready to help themselves. They were just waiting for me to put my hand up. Finally got to that point that day where I did put my hand up. I think I messaged my sponsor and just said, "Dude, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I feel like I'm on the verge of dying," which I was.
Yeah.
It's time to make some really quite profound changes in my life. So thankfully behind the scenes, they had already organized another rehab for me, rehab number two. I wasn't quite quickly admitted into the rehab. I did a detox down where I was living. I was pretty straight and sober by the time I got to rehab, which was amazing. It was in that place that I had that moment. You know, I don't know, this moment's so different for everybody, and I talk to a lot of people about that moment. And you know, maybe you could share a little bit about what your moment was for you as well. But you know, it's not a teachable moment. It's not a coachable moment. You've got to have this moment, I believe, to get to where, you know, someone like you or I is today, which is that line in the sand.
Yeah.
Drawing that line in the sand and going, you know what? I'm done. I don't know what's in store for me in the future. I don't know what this journey is going to look like. I don't know. I don't have all the answers right now, but I'm going to go all in on me to go and find out what that is, because I can't do this anymore. I'm dying, and you know, I was at that point. I'm literally going to either kill myself, be it by my own hand, or you know, accidentally overdose, something like that. I had numerous times before, or I choose to heal, and I choose to go all in on me. And I remember sitting with my hands, you know, my head in my hands in this rehab at the end of a single bed that you only get in rehabilitation centers, just going, "What haven't I done? Yeah. What haven't I done?" And if I was being really honest with myself, bro, like the only thing I hadn't done is actually start to do all the things that anyone had ever suggested to me. I had done everything to keep these things in my life, to keep the drugs in my life, to keep the booze in my life, the you know, there was 900 probably other addictions underneath that, but they were the ones that were really causing the problems.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was in that moment I went, right, cool, that's it. It's time to actually start to go to work and do all these things that all these people seem to have worked for them. And I did. And I went all in on me. Much like yourself, the early days was the foundation that got me sober was a 12-step program. And then, you know, maybe 12 months into that, I just again started looking around the rooms and just started going like this. I don't feel like this is a forever thing for me. I don't, just something doesn't quite resonate anymore in this space. And I feel like it's time for me to move on from this space and go to find out what else there is. What else is there?
Yeah.
What else is there? Because, you know, much we've spoken about this and I don't want to spend any time. I will not. And I don't hold anything against the 12-step program. I think it's phenomenal. I think there's some core pillars within that space which are incredible. And there's probably pillars that still really, I would still believe that I teach and preach. But there's also some foundational principles that it's built out of that I just don't wholeheartedly don't agree with. So yeah, just started looking at what else is there and got hungry and went all in on me and my, I guess, healing and my personal growth and development, and started working with mentors from all different spaces, different mentors, different programs, different modalities of healing, different experiences. You know, I just was like, how much further can I take this? How much more of a elevated version of myself can I become? And wow, holy shit, man, like what I found was what just blew me away, and just continued to expand and grow and learn more about myself and where this actually came from, where this stemmed from. I could see and understand my sort of core wounds and how I showed up in that. And that was, you know, there, I remember there was a moment where the penny just dropped, because my story, although I showed up a lot in my health and wellness business online, I still kept my story in the shadows. I still kept I still held a lot of guilt and shame around this word addiction.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of fear around what other people would think of me, because one of my core wounds is approval of others or love from other people. I need you to love me to make me feel whole. So there's also
you want to present yourself as like the best image of who you could be. Yeah,
100%. And so attached to that was this fear of just telling my truth, speaking my truth. Anyway, through a series of events, I won't sort of take you into that. We'd have to be here for a little while longer. But I just I had a moment where it was like, right, I was tested. And I could see that the universe had something for me. It was like a moment of the universe being like, I've got something for you, but I'm going to take you down because I'm not sure if you're ready. But if you actually sit in the shit and you sit in this discomfort and you sit in what you're experiencing right now and you just wait, I'll give you everything you've ever wanted. But if you run and if you numb and if you, you know, check out like you used to, like your default, then maybe you're not ready and I won't actually give you what it is and what's next for you. And so thankfully I did. I just sat with it and the light bulb went on. It's like, bink. It was just like that moment. I get it now. I see what I'm here to do. I know who I'm here to be. I know what I'm here to create. This is my story. This is my truth. This is what I've been running from so many years. And I have some really profound answers and solutions to this conversation around addiction that a lot of people don't have access to or aren't talking about yet.
Yeah.
And it just started with a live, bro. I went on Facebook and I hit live and I told my full story and it just opened the floodgates. It was just like, oh, wow, this is alignment.
Yeah. Well, I think I resonate so much kind of with that process. So because I was so similar where 12 steps, the walking through the steps, and if you truly do them correctly, are beautiful, right?
100%.
But you're left at the end with a still like my, you know, like I said earlier, like my idea that like I was, my identity was I'm an alcoholic. Mm. Not no, like who am I? That's that's what I did to avoid, you know, truly stepping into dealing to discover who I was. And man, when you get there, when you get to that space that all of a sudden, like you said, like that light bulb goes off and you're like, whoa, I'm not defined by my past. I'm not defined by these things, but I can grow and learn from them. And there's so much more to me. You know, that's the space that I began to see in the world of whatever you want to call it, recovery, addiction. Not everybody's talking about it, right?
Totally.
You know, and you've got to and that's the conversation that needs, you know?
I am. Yes. The two most powerful words in the English language, I am. And whatever you follow I am with, you become. So if you're consistently, on a daily basis, repeating the words, I am an addict or I am an alcoholic, your subconscious mind believes it to be truth.
Yeah.
And guess what will accentuate?
Yeah. Yeah, learning to speak proper truth over yourself. I mean, have you ever heard about the, I'm going to botch this whole thing probably. There was a scientist that did a test on water. Basically he took three waters. One he spoke negatively to, the other he spoke positively to, and the other one he isolated completely and didn't speak to at all. And when he froze it, the icicles that were made, the one that spoke positive was these beautiful crystals, ugly, you know, that whole thing. It just was distorted, ugly. And to me, when I saw that, and then I sat there and I go, what do I speak to myself? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the words I say? If I'm mostly made up of water, you know, how much more powerful is his experiment with ice and us as human beings? Like, so like if I choose to say I'm an addict or I'm an alcoholic or I am a failure or I screwed my marriage up or all these things, if I just believe that, then the destruction I'm creating inside of me.
This comes down to, this is this conversation around frequency and vibration. Everything. Yep. Absolutely everything on this planet holds a frequency and holds a vibration. And this, again, is actually really resonant of so much of what I teach. If you go to David Hawkins' work and look up his map of consciousness, emotions also hold a vibration. They have a resonance. So if we're consistently showing up, you know, take like a big thing of that I get people, my clients, to implement into their life. One of the first things I get them to implement and do in their life, and then this is a recommendation to anyone listening, is a morning routine.
Yeah.
And the process of a morning routine is, for me, is about raising my vibration. We know when things feel good or when things feel bad, right? And think about what most people are doing. The first thing, what do you think the first thing is most people on this planet do in the morning when they open their eyes?
Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok.
100%. You pick up your phone, right? We pick up this thing, and we start scrolling, and we open up Instagram. We see someone in Hawaii, and I get jealous, and I play the comparison game. Well, this person has a better life than me, and then we get a featured ad that tells me I need to go and get a fucking boob job, and then I feel inferior, and then I read the news, and it's just doom and gloom, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm sitting at this frequency of between probably 0 and 100 on a scale of 0 to 1,000 on the map of consciousness. And I'm already setting myself up for a pretty dismal day.
Yeah.
So the more that I can do the things and show up in the things that serve me and that fill up my cup and that ultimately raise my vibration or raise my frequency, it's like putting on a suit of armor. It's like putting on a shield for the day. Like, no matter what throws or comes my way, I'm only going to come down a few notches rather than starting at naught and then ending up in minus.
Yeah. No, you know, it's funny. I need to hear that because it's not that I haven't heard it. It's the fact that it's easy. I'm even just like, as you were sharing that, I'm looking back on my, like, the last month. I still wake up earlier before my kids get up, so I have my own space and time. But lately it's been like consumed with like more so like the busyness of like, I got to get this done. Oh, and I'm gonna check social media and see what's going on. And I'm going to justify that because I'm telling myself this is the only time of the day I have to do this. Versus my normal healthy morning would have been like quiet time, journaling, like creating some time to like really just sit for a couple minutes in quietness. And like, it's easy for me to move out of that space and to still say, well, I got up early. I had my morning time. I'm like, no, it didn't serve me at all though. You know, I'm just more tired. So
it's my absolute non-negotiable. Like if I've done anything on this whole journey on a like real consistent daily basis, it's been a morning routine.
What is your morning? What does your morning routine look like? I like to hear other people's.
Yeah, for sure. It varies a little bit. I sort of chop and change it every 2 or 3 months, depending on what I'm working on or what I want to sort of be or become. But the absolute non-negotiables for me are wake up, no phone. I usually drop into some sort of a prayer or just a handing over of my will and just sort of a connection with the universe, connection with whatever you deem to be this higher self or higher power or God or, you know, whatever that is for you. It's just a connection practice. Ultimately, I'm just connecting to myself, really, and getting out of my own way in that conversation. I then move into like just giving thanks or cultivating gratitude. I just do a free flow or just give thanks. Thank you, universe, for this. Getting to live in this monumental RV for the last 2 months. Thank you for a healthy, able, capable body. Thank you, Lord, for the use of all of my limbs and my my senses and, you know, et cetera. I just free flow and just see what comes to me in that. I put on some Joe Dispenza at the moment as my go-to meditation. I've got a morning visualization practice, which I love doing. So I'll put on this meditation. It's about 25 minutes long. And it's sort of about just dropping me into, for me, it's usually things I'm calling in for that month or who I want to be, you know, 5 years from now. Just really feel that energy of calling that into my space, becoming a vibrational match to that, right? If you want to get real woo-woo. I love doing a bit of breath work. I love breath work. I did some breath work before I jumped on this call. I might spend 5 minutes just doing some circular breath in through the mouth, out through the mouth with a few holds. What else becomes? I've got it written down somewhere here, bro. Look, here we go, right here. See, I don't just preach the stuff, I do it as well. I
love it. Morning routine and evening routine.
Meditation. I've also got what I call lofty questions. So I love asking myself, I've written a few questions that just align. So some people might have affirmations, right? Like what they're wanting to become. I feel a better way to do it is asking yourself a question and just seeing what comes up. So some questions might be like, you know, what type of man am I? And I'll just speak it. I'm empowered, integral, powerful, compassionate, kind, fun, hilarious, you know, man. What's one thing I could do today that I'd be proud of? Things like this. What does devotion mean to me? Just things that I'm working on for myself, and then just free flow that answer. And that could take, you know, anywhere between 20 minutes and an hour and a half.
Yep. I love it, man. Just all that inspires me, because if we can't create time for that, you know, we're going to go back to the very beginning of our conversation, really, of like, I'm not going to feel, I'm going to push it down.
Yeah.
Cause it takes what I've discovered, I need to create space to feel. I need to create space to have gratitude. I need to create space to learn, you know, I have an ice bath that, like, regardless of the benefits of the ice bath, like me sitting in it forces me to
love ice
every day. Every day I get in it, and it just forces me to breathe. It forces me to be present, and it forces me just to experience the feeling of it all, you know. And I don't like the feeling a lot of times. It's painful, you know, but I just think, like, your morning routine, it inspired me today to just to like sit back and go, I've gotten lazy with it. Meaning I still wake up early, but I haven't been giving it my, like, I'm not sitting asking those questions, you know?
The way I explain it is like, I think about it like a prescription. Like, that's my medicine. That's literally my medicine. Like, if a doctor turned to me and said, here, this is your prescription every morning, it's a morning routine, I'd be like, right, okay, cool. That's what I'm going to take. Take every morning to make me well.
No, I think it's beautiful. Man, Andrew, I could keep talking with you, I think, for a long time. I think you should come up. But we're running out of time. And come to Maui and, I've been dreaming right now a lot about hosting these like 5-day real intensive retreats on Maui that are centered around all this stuff. It's helping take everything we talked about and put it into a practical time for like 5 days where you're experiencing this and you're experiencing the adventure that life offers. So you're getting all of this with the idea that you walk home and you go, okay, like this is kind of like a propelling motion for you to head in this direction now.
Practicality is everything. And that's why I love that we just shared something like morning routine, because it means that listeners can go away and actually implement, because I don't believe that knowing something doesn't mean shit.
No.
Yeah, there's a saying, knowledge is power. I think knowledge is potential. You know, it's in the doing that becomes the being. It's the doing, the showing up for self that becomes just who we are. It's the being. Much like you said, practical tools are so important.
Yeah, and like you said, like what you offer, like in your coaching, that is it. Like you are a guide, is somebody that's going to go like, okay, here's where you are. Here's where you want to be. What are the practical things that you could be doing to get there? You know, not like, hey, let's read a bunch of books and then, you know, you're going to learn, but you got to put it into practice. And so, all right, we're going to come to an end soon, but I'm going to ask you one last question. So here's your final question. Everything goes quiet. The world goes quiet. Media, everything shuts down. Like, so all the noise and chattered existence is gone. And everyone puts their eyes on you. And you get one moment to speak just this one truth to the world. This one, I want you guys to know this. What is that thing?
And the only thing that's coming through is just that, like, all that matters is love. All that matters is unity. All that matters is like, wow, actually, you know what? Right now, this is a really beautiful, incredible opportunity for us to actually finally all come together.
Yeah.
What a gift. No, I think something like that is needed and necessary on this planet right now.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of separation on this planet. There's a lot of divides. There's a lot of boundaries, borders.
Yeah.
And what we need to realize is that we are all one. We are all the same. We are all love. And love is all that we get to come back to. And the more that we can support one another and show up in community for each other, the more all of us can heal. Because we get to hold each other, all of us, in a place of understanding and compassion.
Yeah. Love it, man.
That's all my answer, bro.
I love it. I couldn't agree more. But one last time, how do people connect with you? What's the best way for people to reach you?
Best way to reach me is on either Facebook or Instagram. Facebook is Andrew Wild, and then in brackets, I've got Drew Wild. I went by Drew for a very long time. I don't mind if people call me Drew. But Facebook would be Andrew Wild. Instagram is @Drew_Wild.
And I will, and those links, you guys, are in the show notes. So go back to the show notes, look at it. The links are there. You can connect with Andrew Wild and everything he is doing, man.
Everyone listening as well, if they do want more practical tools and they want it for free, I have a free online community group, which is stacked. It's stacked. I ran it as sort of like a 5-day experience where I just unloaded so much value into that space. So if you do want any sort of guidance or you want some systems or tools that you can implement into your life today for free, message me and I can put you into that group as well.
Do it. That's awesome. I highly encourage you to do it. So Andrew, thank you again, man.
Thank you, brother.
I'm excited for the day we meet up in Hawaii. So
I can't wait. Can't wait.
Hey, you guys, I want to take a second to remind you guys, if you get a chance, go down at the bottom of the show and leave a rating, leave a review. share this with somebody. Maybe there's somebody out there that you just listened to this episode and you go, man, they really need to hear this. Share it. Be somebody's hero. Be someone. Show love. Show kindness. Show it. Show it by extending the things that you learn to others and to yourself. So yeah, you guys have an amazing day. I challenge you guys, figure out that morning routine, create space to just love yourself, speak truth over yourself in words. All right, everybody. Bye.